You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into another week of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off of your next order. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL, and you can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. So, let's talk about what we're going to talk about. Over the weekend, there was rookie minicamp. And so rookie minicamp is not a particularly newsy happening. All the rookies come in, they do a few workouts, they go home. That's just about it. Unless somebody gets injured, which to my knowledge, nobody did. Wyatt Davis participated. I guess that's important because his health is the thing. And so that he was cleared to practice, I guess, is a pretty good sign. We're going to talk about Wyatt Davis actually a lot today. We talked about him a little bit on Friday's show. I spoke with Jay Stevenson, who kind of gave me a primer. And then over the weekend, I sort of looked into Wyatt Davis a little bit more, and I came out even more excited about him than I was before the draft. So we're going to talk about kind of why I feel that way. And we're also going to talk about a couple of rookie tryouts that actually got a spot on the roster. We'll quick touch on those. I'm going to talk about that in a second. And there's also there is one last conversation with a college host that is with Cindy Robinson of Locked On Pac-12, where the University of California is. So Cameron Bynum. So we talked a little bit about Cameron Bynum. That'll be at the end of the show. But first, let's start with those rookie tryouts. So as with most years, the Vikings love signing rookie tryouts. So if you're unfamiliar, what that means is every year there's rookie minicamp, right? It's a weekend where you just send all the rookies through drills. But let's say you didn't draft any centers. You need to do offensive line drills. So you go bring in a center that nobody signed as an undrafted free agent guy that, you know, he'll never make the team, but you need a warm body. But for that guy, what if he like practices really well? And what if he like does really well in all the drills and workouts and he looks great in practice? There's nothing stopping that team from saying, well, maybe we should actually give you a shot and put you on the 90-man roster. Usually you have to cut another undrafted free agent. So sometimes you'll have a guy get signed as an undrafted free agent, rookie tryout comes in, does great in rookie minicamp, and then that guy didn't do great in rookie minicamp and get cut. So there's a bit of an audition element to rookie minicamp, and the Vikings sign rookie tryouts every year just about, and this year is no different, even though there's a lot fewer rookie tryouts. They only had 5 actual rookie tryouts come in. A couple of them actually made the 90-man roster, which I do not believe is at 90 yet. There's still room on it for more players if they wanted to. But let's talk about those two guys. First one I want to talk about is the tackle out of the University of Buffalo, and he came out in 2020, which is a little weird. We'll talk about it in a sec. But he is a strongman offensive lineman out of Buffalo. His name's Evan Kazarchik, and he's like the opposite of what the Vikings typically get, where he's like really strong and really powerful and totally anchors, lots of sand in his pants, can't move at all. And that's why he didn't get drafted. So the movement was super, super bad. And that the movement looked bad among competition at the University of Buffalo, like that is a small school prospect. That's going to be what made it so he didn't get drafted. But hey, you know what? The strength is worth a shot. And hey, you know, there are guys like Davis and Christian Darrisaw that didn't look so fast on tape either, but managed to kind of make up for it with their power. So hey, you know what? Good enough chance as anybody, but his movement issues are a lot more major, I guess, than the movement issues you see with like Darrisaw or Wyatt Davis, where, you know, those guys get drafted because it looks it's like something you could overcome. And with Kazarchik, it isn't. The second guy is a similar player who came out of Wake Forest in 2020, didn't make the team that he got signed to as an undrafted free agent because of no preseason and stuff, and is getting another rookie tryout opportunity here in 2021. His name's Amari Henderson. He's like a 6'1", 180-pound corner, kind of, I guess, a build that's getting more and more common among corners, and he didn't make the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you got these two guys that the Vikings probably had reasonable draft grades on, or like priority free agent grades on, and then because of what you would have to chuck up to extenuating circumstances in the 2020 lack of preseason, right? You say, you know, those guys, hey, they didn't get their, you know, a true shake on their team. Let's bring them in and see if we can't make something out of these guys. They're all in the undrafted free agent tier. These aren't people that, you know, anybody expects to be starters or even to make the team, but they get their shot. And I think that's pretty cool. I always like it when rookie tryouts get a chance to make the team. It warms my cold, dead heart. So speaking of things that warm my cold, dead heart, let's talk about Wyatt Davis. If you follow me on Twitter, you will know that I have been absolutely drooling over his film like all weekend. And I can't wait to talk about him. I'll probably do an article about it too. He just pops off the tape in so many ways. And the one that I think really gets me the most is just you can see so many plays on his tape where his strength is just eye popping. And that's like among defensive linemen. And the games that I chose to watch games where he was going up against vaunted defensive linemen. I watched the college playoffs and I said, you know what, I'm going to watch the ones where his knee are injured. You know, show me the game against, you know, that Penn State D-line. You know, show me games where he went up against good competition. And I honestly, because I was so high on him coming out of the draft, I kind of wanted to find his worst tape and see how much it bothered me. And in those games, the ones that are supposed to be his bad games, there are so many reps where he just pancakes guys, or he just gets two hands on them and torques them and twists them until they're off balance and then puts them into the ground. And he finishes these guys. And this is more of the kind of mean streak finishing that I don't put as much stock into, but it's still kind of fun. Where, you know, the guy will be on the ground or the guy will be kind of neutralized for the purposes of the play. And Wyatt Davis just wants to hit him a little more just to hurt his feelings. That's the kind of thing that coaches go absolutely wild over. Again, it doesn't make as big a difference to me, but it's definitely like a positive trait. And I think the other thing that really, really, really excites me about him is how he handles stunts and twists and games. It's really hard to trick him. The only team that I saw actually got him kind of duped were the Clemson defensive linemen, who would have an edge rusher loop all the way around from the other side of the play and then attack like the other side B gap. And they just have like a really fast guy who, you know, are Clemson. So they have the athletes to do that. That is not something that you are going to encounter a lot in the NFL. And it also is just like really forgivable. So there's a lot of stuff about Wyatt Davis. I could go on and on and on about plays that I've seen. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about what isn't good about Wyatt Davis. What kind of showed on his tape that is concerning? Can we chalk that up to the knee? Can we chalk that up to things that he'll, you know, improve upon in the NFL or not? Or do we have to call him a project or whatever? We'll get into all of that. And I think that's a lot of my scouting methodology is look at someone's weaknesses and ask if they bother you. And with Davis, I'll give you a spoiler, not too much. They don't bother me too much. And so that's why I come out a little bit higher, where it's like, oh, okay, now I know why he fell to the third round. It wasn't just the knee. It was this problem and that problem. And those things I'm totally fine with. So we're going to talk about all of that, and then we'll get to the conversation with Cindy Robinson about Cameron Bynum. But first, let's talk about Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. They're offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, you can text DRAFT to 231231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. And if you text now, they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape. Absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. Message and data rates may apply. I also want to talk to you about risk. I talk a lot about risk on this show when it comes to risk of, you know, risking a draft pick, like you're kind of making a bet, right? Those are chips you're putting in the table, or risking salary cap space, or risky play calling, or something like that. But if you want to manage your risk, and if you really want to put those philosophies into use, you should probably start investing. And if you want a little bit of help getting organized with all that, you should go to Wealthfront. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. That means you are not risking everything in one basket. You're not trying to, you're trading down, not up, if you will. You are diversifying all of your value among a bunch of different draft picks so that you only need one or two of those rookies to work out, and you get your value. That's basically the idea of an index fund. This isn't manual trading. You're not picking stocks. You're not watching the stock market and stressing about it every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes that you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can cover more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee, and that's all automatic. You don't have to think about it. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. That's billion with a B. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free if you go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNFL. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNFL. You just need $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way. Let Wealthfront do the work for you. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNFL to start growing your savings. Wealthfront.com/lockedonNFL. Get started today. So let's talk about what Wyatt Davis doesn't nail, right? So the worst plays for me are, this is going to be really alarming, the zone plays. The plays that you would look and you would watch him fail at them, and you would say, that guy's not a scheme fit. And I think if anybody said, oh, Wyatt Davis is not a scheme fit for the Vikings pre-draft, I don't blame him at all. Because on his tape, and this is not an athleticism thing, on his tape, when he is asked to make reach blocks, when he is asked to make combo blocks, when he's asked to get to guys in the second level, those are his worst reps. When he is asked to just kind of get up there and hit someone, those are his best reps. When he's asked to pass protect, those are his best reps. Oh my God, do I love his pass protection. But reach blocks and combos and kind of the classics of zone blocking are, I think, bad enough that they would prevent him from getting on the field. And if there's one thing to be concerned about, it's that. Now, that's something that I would absolutely take a guy that's, you know, kind of like Brett Jones. I think he's better than Brett Jones at these things, so it's not quite that extreme. But that kind of thing where it's like, well, he can pass protect, but can he get on the field? Can he be trusted in other situations to do the blocks the Vikings will ask him to do very often? And also, a lot of the games I watched, and I did this on purpose, but I do also have to remember, a lot of the games I watched were with the knee injury, and that's going to be the kind of thing that affects his movement. Now, look, when he just gets off the line and goes, and he just finds a guy and he gets it, he can get there, and I do think he can flip his hips okay. I think he just got beat too often. He can't do it, like, consistently. And his timing, especially on combo blocks, is a little spotty. Now, a combo block is a zone run staple, and that is one where you kind of shove the defensive lineman, you shock him right when you get off the snap, but that defensive lineman is someone else's responsibility, and you're just kind of giving him a push to help that guy with his leverage, and then you go and get a linebacker. That's why they call it a combo block, because you're kind of combining your block against two guys. So I want to see him get more consistent with his technique there, and this is the kind of thing that I think actually Dennison has done a really good job with the Vikings offensive line to get them consistent on these blocks. They're very consistent about this. This is something I think the Vikings line does very well. It's run blocking, so nobody cares about it, but I do think that they're very consistent at this particular skill, where they will spend a very consistent and appropriate amount of time on that first block before going to the second one. A lot of Wyatt Davis's losses in the run game are because he either didn't shock that defensive line for long enough so that guy was able to win his rep, or he shocked that guy and he blocked that guy for too long where the linebacker was able to make too much of a play and you didn't get to the second level in time. I think this is the kind of thing. Now, in 2019, we watched an offensive line that struggled a lot with this figure it out immediately over the course of a camp. So I think Wyatt Davis can figure that particular problem out before meaningful football is played. I don't think that's like a multi-year project kind of deal. Now, there's another thing that I see kind of often with him. Christian Barmore got him really good with this, and a couple other linemen do this, is that he loses the leverage battle to high long arm rushes. So if you long arm somebody and you get a hand on them high, it's really difficult to swat that away from the side or from the top. Like, you can't like kind of parry away a high arm unless you go at it from underneath. Mitchell Schwartz just did a really cool thread. He calls it the Hamilton technique on kind of how to counter this, but Wyatt Davis doesn't have that move and could actually probably use a session with Mitchell Schwartz, because I think that technique would actually do wonders for Wyatt Davis. And that's another one that's like one little technique. It's one counter for one specific thing. It doesn't come up every play or even close to that. And even if it did, this is, again, not a multi-year thing to learn. So these things don't worry me all that much, even though they are definitely negatives. And the thing is, because of his strength, when he loses this way, he still anchors really, really well. And the defensive lineman does get a lot of push on him and he cedes a lot of ground. And so you have to call it like a pass blocking loss, but it's a pass blocking loss that takes forever. So a lot of the analytics looking at like pass rush win rate or whatever, some of the people charting that kind of thing would call it a loss because it takes too long to get to the quarterback. And I think they have a point when they're charting it that way. So you could kind of call those wins anyways, just based off of pure strength. And when you're going up, you know, you're in Ohio State, you're going up against Wisconsin and Iowa and Penn State. These are good defensive line schools, not to mention, you know, he hit Clemson and Alabama. Like, these are NFL quality players. So I don't think the strength in competition is going to, like, make his athleticism look worse. I think it is genuinely good. He's the strongest dude on the field, like, all the time. And when he's blocking someone, his dude is the furthest down the field, like, every play. Like, he just puts guys on skates. And that's what Jay Stevenson was talking about. Or Jay Stevens was talking about on Friday. He's just a people mover. And I definitely saw that on tape. So when you have strength as an offensive lineman, there's not an easy way to punish it if you rely on that strength. If you're relying on speed, you can punish that because you can kind of get somebody to overuse their speed and overset, right? And then beat them to the inside and counter and stuff. You can't really punish strength the same way. And that's why I'm super excited that, like, oh, he's a guy that leans on being strong as an ox all the time. Well, stay in the weight room and that ain't going away. He'll kind of be able to just get rack up a lot of wins that way. I'd rather see a little bit better footwork and, you know, better climbing to the second level and stuff. But when he gets a bad engagement, like he's at the wrong angle because he spent too long on the combo block or because he let the guy get leverage, if he's on in a bad position, and that's going to happen to you no matter how good you are. Marshall Yanda got in bad position sometimes. It's just a reality of offensive line. If you can find a way to win those reps ugly, your production's going to be really, really, really good. And when I envision the path for Wyatt Davis in the NFL, I can see a world where he just doesn't get better, where he's kind of stuck on the bench and we don't know why, even though he pass blocks well in the preseason and stuff. I can see a Brett Jones kind of style failure for him, but much more often, and I think much more likely, I see him just being a guard we don't talk about much, a guy we just kind of forget about. And that's exactly what you want from a guard. And that's why I'm so excited. I like watching offensive line. I'll never forget about a guard. So I see him being somebody that is consistent, that even when he loses, he wins. Even the reps he does poorly on, he'll find a way to win them. And when he does lose, he doesn't lose embarrassingly too often. When he does kind of get his weight out in front of his feet sometimes. And I've seen him get kind of swum into oblivion sometimes. That'll happen. He's young. And when I say sometimes, I mean, like, actually kind of rarely, but I'm just so excited for the future of this kid. I'm probably going to write an article about this. I'm a little scatterbrained talking about it because I'm just so excited about so many different things. And I have so many other things on this show that I want to get to. So we're going to move on here and talk about Cameron Bynum. We're going to bring Cindy Robinson on the line. But first, I want to talk to you about Grambling. You can gramble now on the NBA playoffs. They're coming up. Seeds are getting clinched. As I am recording this, at least, the seeds are still kind of working themselves out, but the NBA playoffs are here. You can bet, you know, over under how many games and all that stuff. You want to make those bets, go to betonline.ag. If you don't have an account, no worries, it's free to set one up. And when you deposit money to actually gamble with, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and get some free Grambling money as well. A 50% welcome bonus. That means if you deposit $100, $1,000, whatever it is, you get $50 on top of that, or $500 on top of that, and free play money just for entering the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, everybody, here to talk about Cameron Bynum, fourth round pick out of University of California. It's Cindy Robinson, who does Locked On Pac-12, so make sure you go check that show out. Cindy, what's going on?
Not much. Just, you know, hanging here, getting through my first week.
Yeah, welcome to the network.
Thank you so much. I've been having a great time and everybody's been so welcoming.
That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about Cameron Bynum, fourth round pick, I think 125, out of Cal. So he played corner at Cal. He's going to move to safety on the Vikings. So I guess first just give me like the broad strokes of how he was like as a corner, like as a scouting report.
Yeah, you know, he was a great corner, actually. He's tough. He has instinctive corner skills, terrific ball skills, which I absolutely hate when a corner can't catch a ball. Because, like, what are we doing here? Like, I know you're not doing it on a regular basis, but you definitely need to know how to, right?
That's why they're not receivers.
that is true. But, like, at the same time, come on now. When it comes down to catching an interception, like, how hurt are you when you fumble it? Like, come on. Yeah. You had that opportunity. We don't want to see that, especially not in the NFL. So, you know, he has excellent hand skills for that. Next level ball skills and awareness. And that's obviously a big deal in that position. Mm-hmm. Will be great moving forward into the safety position because, you know, he'll have the view of the whole field for the most part. The one like little caveat that there was about him was that, you know, he struggles against larger pass catchers sometimes. And then occasionally he lacks deep speed. So That is probably even more of a benefit for him to be moving to safety, because he won't have to be worrying about that, you know, at the corner position.
Yeah, there's like that difference between your like tested athleticism and what you got at your combine or pro day, and then you're like functional, like how athletic you are on the field, because he's like plays bigger than he is and he plays faster than he actually is, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I was going to say that's a plus. A lot of times the testing situation, yes, is good to go by, but it's also like just one thing to go by, not a end all be all. And so for him, his tapes will show you that he plays a lot faster than what his 40 time showed, which at the end of the day, in certain positions, a 40 time doesn't really matter. We're just looking at your overall speed for at that point for that. But how often are you running in a straight line, you know, for 40 yards in a game? Like, that's not really the case. You know, you got to be able to shift quickly. And for him, he has fluid hips and like he moves well. So it's very rare that he gets beaten on the field. He doesn't really make mental mistakes. So he's, you know, cerebral at that point, at the minimum, which is great because a lot of this game is, you know, thinking and making great decisions.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that he has to like learn is because he's moving from corner to safety and that changes your perspective. You have to see the field a lot more, you know, as corner, unless Cal does something that I don't know about. I would imagine that cornerbacks are focused on their guy, right? Or focused on their zone or whatever.
Right, right. For him, it's going to be just one of those things where you have to get in there and grind. Like, you know, you want to make this team and this is where they want to see you at. So now what do you have to do? You have to be in there studying that tape. You have to be learning the plays. You have to, it's a lot. And I will say he might have a little more of a challenge than, say, other rookies that are coming in at their position, you know, their designated position, because maybe he hasn't played this position ever. But like, it's the opportunity of a lifetime, something you've worked for. Now you're here and you don't know, they're seeing something in you that says you may be a better fit at this role. So now how can you learn what you need to learn and show them that they're right and, you know, take on the challenge?
Yeah, and he's already talked a lot about how excited he is to learn from Harrison Smith, and he's going to kind of get a year because of the way the Vikings room is set up. There's two kind of already pretty well in starters, so he could win the job from Xavier Woods. Anything could happen, but there's no pressure. So he'll have that.
Yeah. The one good thing to say that you're getting with this pick is that, you know, a lot of players out of the Pac-12 college period, but the Pac-12 especially, decided to opt out of the 2020 season, and Cameron didn't. He actually played all 4 years, and you know, he's a two-time captain, so he's coming with leadership skills. But that's also like, you know, part of being a leader is being able to learn and being willing to learn and coachable and all those things. And that's what he's been described as. So I don't think that this is an issue for him. And I don't think he's even looking at it as an issue. I think it's a challenge he's ready to take on.
Yeah. And just to circle back, I just quick looked up his actual all of his actual athletic scores. When you change it to safety, his full 40, but his 20 yard split, which is, I think, a little more relevant, right? Because if you line up 20 yards off, you have to go like make a break on the ball or something. 90th percentile. So, makes a lot of sense.
I'm telling you. And at the end of the day, like I said, he plays faster in the game. Yeah. And I think that's just a matter of like adrenaline, but how you're seeing it too, and how you registered in your mind. I'm like, what are the word I'm looking for there? But like how you register in your mind, you know, and a lot of times game speed is way faster than what you're just doing stagnant, you know, in testing. So that's even better for the team.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of what sort of safety he blossoms into. Corner to safety is a move that a lot of players have made. So it's definitely not unprecedented, but it's certainly not easy either. Cindy, let the people know where they can find you and your show and everything you do.
Yeah. So definitely follow along Locked On Pac-12 on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. And then if you really want to follow me on Twitter, I'm _Cindy Robinson. I don't tweet as much. Maybe I'll get better at that. I'm trying to like, let me go into the Locked On
Pac-12
Twitter.
That's probably a good idea.
Twitter. Right. Like, let me slide to the Locked On Pac-12 Twitter. I don't engage that much, but I can. If you tweet me, I'll tweet back. We can get with that. And then listen to Locked On Pac-12 wherever you listen to podcasts. The Odyssey app, Spotify, maybe Apple sometimes.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, make sure you guys tune in. It's going to be a great season. I'm usually joined by co-hosts. So, yeah, it'll be a great time.
Awesome. Cindy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow. Everybody make sure you get your questions in at Locked On Vikings on Twitter or at Luke Braun NFL on Twitter. You can also send an email to lockedonvikingspodcast@gmail.com. If you prefer, there's even a Google form in the show notes if you'd rather do that as well, or get it in on the Discord, which is also linked in the show notes. If you are on Discord and you want to ask that way, come hang out. At any rate, I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skull.